Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Robin Jones Gunn's award-winning stories inspired Finding Father Christmas, a Hallmark original Christmas movie. Finding Father Christmas set a record on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel for being both the most watched and the highest rated telecast ever in the history of the network. Robin knows how big a part her faith in Christ has made in her life and her career. And today, here on the Good Life Radio program, we join together with you, dear friend, to remind you that the hope that Robin has experienced in her life, the hope that she has found in Christ, can be your hope as well. That God loves you so much, my friend, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. No matter how far you've gone, how bad you feel you've been, there is always hope in Christ. Christ loved you so much, he died, he shed his blood on that cross, he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. And it's our prayer. It's our prayer. And that's why we gather today, hoping that you, dear one, would open your heart to Jesus. Would you do that? Would you do that? Robin Jones Gunn is the much-loved author of the popular Christy Miller series for teens and Sister Chicks novels, as well as non-fiction favorites such as Victim of Grace and Spoken For. Her 90 books have sold nearly 5 million copies worldwide. She's a frequent speaker at local and international events. She and her husband, Ross, live in Hawaii. Robin, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's so great to be here.
Well, congratulations, Robin, on your success with Finding Father Christmas, both the book and the movie.
Mahalo. I don't know what to say. It feels like it's all just come so quickly, and it was all so unexpected. It's been a surprise and a God thing all the way across.
Well, let's talk about the journey. What has the journey been like? Well, maybe we should start with, even before the journey of the book and the movie, but the inspiration to write your Christmas romance novel series.
I was invited by an editor to write a Christmas novella, and I had been thinking about it because of the verse in Isaiah 9 that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I'd been thinking about a story where I would take a young woman who didn't know who her birth father is and discover that God, her heavenly father, is her everlasting father and that he has always been there for her. And this was based on experience I had with a friend who was on the hunt for her birth father. And so when this editor asked if I'd be interested in writing a Christmas story, I already knew, yes, this is what I want to write about. And I want it to be sort of the foundation of it to come from Isaiah 9, this really strong verse telling us who God the Father is. And so that's how it started. And it was 12 years ago when I first wrote Finding Father Christmas and never expected any more than it being a little Christmas story that would bless people when they read it. Just kind of grown and grown and grown.
What was the process? I mean, you mentioned 12 years. What was the process like to turn it into a movie?
Well, first of all, a producer contacted my literary agent and said, do you have any Christmas stories that we could look at as a Hallmark Christmas movie? And my agent was excited because she knew that I had written two already. First, The Finding Father Christmas, and then the sequel, Engaging Father Christmas. So she sent the first one to the producers, and they came back and said, well, it's not a love story. We need to have more romance if it's going to be a Hallmark Christmas movie. So my agent said, oh, well, then I have to send you the second one, and that's Engaging Father Christmas. And then we waited. It was 5 years from the time that she first sent the two books until it was made into a movie. So that 5 years, we pretty much had given up. It wasn't going to happen. It didn't seem like there was any hope. But all the time, God was at work in the background.
When you develop the story, as I read Finding Father Christmas, Robin, I kept thinking, I'm going to get to talk to this ingenious author who put this all together. I mean, the stories within the story, and when Suzanne mentioned to me about, you know, stirring her fudge on her kitchen stove and reading the book, I can just imagine her with one hand stirring and the other hand reading.
Exactly.
When you write, and you know, over 90 books, but do the stories unfold as you're writing these characters and the depth of the characters? Describe that process for us, or your experience.
Yeah, well, it's very comfortable and familiar for me because God, I know God made my brain to be that way, this imagination that he gave me. From when I was a young child, I could always see these complex stories. And, you know, as a child, when I tell really complex stories, I'd get in trouble because my parents thought I was lying, and I often was exaggerating or adding more pieces than what really happened. But it was just the way my mind would expand and take the possibilities of what might happen. So with this book, I had gone to England, which is where the book is set, and I had visited some of the places that I could see as the setting, this big manor that is talked about in the book. I went on a tour of a house that was very similar, the same sort of floor plan. And I was taking notes and taking pictures. So when I came home to write the story, I could see in my mind's eye where it would be set and the kinds of people that would be involved. And it's just how my mind works. So it feels very familiar to me to just start the story with some general ideas. And then as I'm writing, I keep asking myself, well, what if this happened? Or what if that happened? And then the story just keeps overlapping and unfolding.
Robin, one of the things that touched me is the detail with which you write. It just fascinated me, like the expression on someone's face or the bird that flew past the window. I mean, just these little nuggets that add so much to it. It's just, it was wonderful and refreshing. And I'm assuming that that's how most of your books are.
Yeah, that's just the sort of method that I have when I write, because it's as if when I sit down, it's as if this big movie screen lights up in my imagination and I watch what happens in the story, and then it's as if I'm just taking notes. I'm dictating, you know, I'm writing about what I see in my imagination. So the descriptions and those extra details are what I love to read in other people's books. And so it always feels like that's the added depth to the story.
Well, Miranda, your main character. There was this part where she says, I'd covered all the bases at the office. She's looking back saying what she did before she went to England, right? I was a holiday non-entity. That thought wasn't a comforting one. I could leave the country, or this planet, for that matter, and very few people would realize I was gone. How did my life come to this? When I read that, I thought, well, especially at Christmas time, people feel like non-entities. They wonder about, you know, if they weren't here, would people, just that overwhelming sense of loneliness. When you think about Miranda and as you developed her character and as she grew out in the story, were you thinking about how this relates to people when they're actually reading it, that they may be feeling that way too?
Yes, because over the years, as I've been writing so many novels, I've received thousands of letters from readers. Mm-hmm. And the ones that always get to me are the ones who say something like, I read all the Sister Chick books, and I loved reading about these imaginary characters that were good friends, because I would give anything to have a good friend. Or I really liked in Gardenias for Breakfast, the reconciliation that happened between the mother and the daughter. And I would just, my life would be changed if I could feel reconciled with my mother. We're so alienated. So I see when the readers are responding to the pieces in the book that really touch the heart issues, then I know that those are the stories I want to continue to tell. Because if a story comes from a heart, and touches a heart, it can change a heart. And that's why I write, not just to roll out the entertainment, which is also there, but to go deeper and see how God can initiate a life change. And I was just at a Christmas party last weekend, and a woman came up and told me that in reading one of my books, she had this spiritual moment. And she said, I'm not a Christian, but I had this spiritual moment where I read this part and it made me stop and pray. And I was crying and praying, and I don't do that. And I had this wonderful chance to talk to her and connect with her so that we could have further conversations, because she lives in my hometown here. But that's the power of story. That's the written word that goes deeper than just the entertainment.
Oh. And the confirmation of God at work in ways that you could hardly hope for or imagine.
True. And with the Christy Miller books for teens, and Danny and I have talked about this before, but those books, God's hand of blessing has been on the Christy Miller series. The books have continued to go out around the world, and I still get mail. It's been over 20 years, but I still get mail from teenage girls who have given their life to Christ after reading one of the books.
Wow.
Because it's so clear in the story that what's happening with the characters and the decisions they're making to come to Christ are the decisions that those real-life teenagers want in their life. And so they're drawn to the Lord through fiction, through novels. That's just incredible. It's like a way to reach an unreached people group with the message that resonates with them, but through book.
Mm-hmm.
I can see myself, and I imagine the teens and any of your readers, they see themselves in the characters. And in that way, they can relate, learn, be inspired, and even, Robin, guided. I can clearly sense the Spirit of God. I was reading this book, Finding Father Christmas, and I started to pray. at a certain part because I felt that the Lord was speaking to me about a situation in my life. As we go to our break, I quote one of the characters in Finding Father Christmas, the character Catherine, who had played such a solid role in the life of Miranda while she's there in England, from the beginning at the cafe and all the way to the end, when the climax of the story. But early on, she says, "You can make a new one," speaking about decisions. "You can make a new one whenever you like. Whenever you like. You may be set on something because you made a decision before, because of certain circumstances in your life. But as Catherine says, you can make a new one whenever you like. And today might be a very important moment for you to make a very important decision, life-changing decision, about God. And that could change the course of your life. When we come back, more from Robin Jones Gunn. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Robin Jones Gunn was in first grade. Her teacher wrote on her report card, "Robin has not yet grasped her basic math skills, but she does keep the entire class entertained at rug time with her stories." Well, Robin Jones Gunn has continued to write stories and tell stories and engaging people in such a way that they cannot put the stories down, and to a point where they have even be her book Finding Father Christmas has been made into a movie. You can find out more about Robin and access and get her books at robingunn.com. Again, robingunn.com. That's Robin with an I and Gunn with two N's. robingunn.com. Robin, Miranda, so fascinated by her character and the way that you've developed her character. She talks about the photo, that photo that really is the guide for her to find the answer in her life. She keeps this photo in her purse of her, well, at that time she doesn't know, but she kept the photo. But she says, "The photo in my purse matched the photo on the mantle there in that mansion, the manor that you visited. The past, present, and future had intersected." Describe when you wrote that, when you talk about the intersection, the impact of three seeming periods of time converging into one, what's the impact of that to you?
Well, this is interesting because it was based on, I actually drew that moment from a moment that a real life friend of mine had. And this is the one I mentioned who was on the search for her birth father. She had received from her adoptive parents, when they passed away, a box. And in the box was a baseball card of a major league pitcher. And she thought that, well, that was an odd thing to have with my baby blankets and these other things. And her birth certificate did not list her father's name. But she was at a swap meet after she was married and had two children. And there was a table with vintage baseball cards. And she saw that same card and picked it up and looked at it and decided she was going to buy it. And the dealer looked at her and looked at the card, because it was so odd that she just wanted that one. And he said, my guess is you're related, or something like that. Or there's a connection there I can see. Maybe the way they looked, or I don't know. But that began her journey, because who is this person? And she tracked him down. And in her case, when she called him, she said, I don't even know if you know that I exist, because I don't know who my birth mother is, but I have reason to believe that you are my birth father. And if that's the case, I do have the name of my birth mother. It's on my birth certificate, and this is her name. And I was born on this day. But if you are my birth father, I just want you to know that I have a wonderful husband. He loves the Lord. I love the Lord. My husband's a minister. We have two really terrific children, and I turned out okay. My life is good. And if you ever wondered, I just wanted you to know. And his response after a pause was, nope, not interested, don't want any, and he hung up. And so writing this story was, if I had this chance to redeem that broken real life situation, what if my friend had a call, you know, I made the call and I've received that invitation that is sort of subliminally through the book, come in and know me better, which is a line from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. But that's what we all long for, that we can connect with others in this personal way that draws us into fellowship where the relationships have been broken. But sometimes it takes that other person to say, yes, come in. Know me. I want you to be part of my family. So that whole feeling was what was just rushing through me as I typed those pages of Finding Father Christmas, because this is God's gift to us at Christmas in his son, to have reconciliation, to be invited into his family, to know the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and to have that true experience of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So even though, you know, you don't see those messages written in the book, that's what I was feeling and thinking as I was writing those pages, so that it comes through in the characters as they're on this quest that turns out much more agreeable than the quest that my real-life friend took.
Well, I think about Andrew. I think about Ellie and the way that they welcomed her, and Catherine welcomed her in, you know, the waking up and seeing the stockings on her own bedpost with the Christmas treats. All those, just the constant theme of welcoming. And then, of course, a moment of tension at the end, the tension we all feel because of our fears of rejection. But the love of God comes through. Even I marvel at how you created the poems in this, and how Eve Carson, her mom, played such a, well, she seems to have been just a very artistic, creative person herself. How did her character grow out of, you know, your imagination?
I had a cousin that I admired when I was growing up because she was older and sort of this free spirit and dramatic. And so she's the real life personality I drew from as I was writing it. I thought, what would it be like if her life had gone this direction? And so that was the motivation for Eve. But then with the other characters, because we don't see Eve very much in the book, and when you watch the movie, they did create a backstory with the character Eve, so that relationship seems to continue all the way through the movie, and it does in the book, even though she's not, we just saw her a little bit, but there are those people in all of our lives that have such an impact. Their personality is just larger than life. And they leave a lasting impression long after we've been with them. So it was fun to see in the movie how the screenwriter interpreted the bits that I had given him in the book, and then he had to really expand it so that it would work on the screen. And that whole process was really interesting because when I received the contract, I knew that it was 36 pages long, and I knew when I signed the contract that I was giving up all rights. I couldn't say what I wanted in the movie. I couldn't give backseat direction. It was all being turned over to the producers and the screenwriter and the director and the actors. So it took me a couple days before I even could sign the contract because I knew they were going to do things I would never imagined, or they might take really key elements out of the story, which they did. And they took the book here, it was set in England, and they changed it in the movie. It's set in Vermont. And they added characters and they took out characters. But in the end, it's a lovely movie. And the reason I believe it rated so high, it broke the network record, as you said. And it first aired on November 13th, and it still has not been usurped in its record. No other Hallmark Movies and Mystery Channel movie has rated higher or had higher viewing. It's still number one, even months later. And I believe that the reason it really went so deep was because what the screenwriter kept and the producers were careful to preserve was exactly what you were saying, Danny, that sense of belonging. And at Christmas, it's so much more elevated in all of our family lives with extended relatives and with friends that we all want to be wanted and invited in. So in the book, it's very much that message is clear that we are invited, we are welcomed in by the Father of Christmas, by the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. But on a human level, we want that from people. And that really comes through in the movie, for Miranda to be welcomed into this family and to be wanted. And like you said, all those touches, the Christmas stocking and all those pieces were just little expressions of love to make her feel valued and invited in.
Well, even to be welcomed by a child, by a little girl, a little niece, to, you know, snuggle up for her very first time, to feel what it was like, and then how she thinks, how Miranda thinks about her, how her mother must have felt when she was little, when you know, her niece was there snuggling up to her. Sometimes we think that feeling welcomed needs to come from an adult, but it's very powerful when a child can just have, with their innocent open heart, can just welcome someone into their own life. It's quite a profound, and that's just one slice of the profound and other examples of one feeling welcomed. Robin, this whole process of the book becoming a movie, you say it went over, how many years? I know the book was 12 years ago. How long was it for the for it to
five.
Become a movie? Five?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 5 years.
Did you get emotional? Did you feel like you were on an emotional roller coaster at times going through the process?
Oh.
In what way?
And well, I hadn't really expected it to ever happen. But when I had been reading some of my journal entries from when I was writing the book, and I came across the verses I had copied from Isaiah 9, the wonderful counselor, everlasting father, I had also during that time copied some verses from Isaiah 7. Because whenever I'm looking at a portion of scripture, I always like to read several chapters after and several chapters before just to get the whole picture. And I had written in my journal from Isaiah 7 these verses, and I had taken it from the Message because I was looking at more modern translations to see what the feeling and the meaning was. And here is Ahaz, the king at that time in Israel, and God says to Ahaz, go ahead and ask for a sign. Ask anything. Be extravagant. Ask for the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And Ahaz replies to God and says, I won't presume upon my God. I'm not going to ask anything. And then Isaiah the prophet says to Ahaz, are you going to try God's patience the way you keep trying my patience? Even though you won't ask for a sign, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when I was in the midst of this five-year period on the emotional roller coaster, as you mentioned, and thinking, oh, it's just not going to happen. Who ever gets their book made into a movie? That never happens. I might as well give up. And I came across the previous journal entries from years back where I had read, ask God anything, ask for the moon. Mm-hmm. And I thought, am I like Ahaz, where I'm always saying to God, I'm not going to bother God. He's been so good to me. I'm not going to presume upon his goodness and ask anything more. Or would it be a step of faith to say, God, I want to honor you. If this would honor you, then I'm asking for the moon. I am asking you for this book to be made into a movie. And for whatever doors have been shut along this process, that you would open them wide and let all the pieces fall into place. And God answered that prayer in an incredible way. It was extravagant because I got to go on set for 3 days as they were filming. And all mm-hmm. of the Hallmark movies, well, not all, but most of them are filmed in Vancouver, Canada. And so I got to go for 3 days with my agent up to Vancouver, BC. And the last night we were there, they were filming a scene with this house all lit up and Christmas trees and snow. And they were waiting to film it and have the Christmas carolers go up to the door, but they had to wait because it had begun to rain, and they were waiting for it to clear. And my agent that was with me, she and I turned to each other, and we prayed that the Lord would allow the clouds to clear, that it wouldn't rain. And the clouds began to clear, and mm-hmm. it stopped raining. And it right behind the house, because my agent and I were standing so far back, we looked, and as the clouds parted, there was this great, big butterball moon. And I just felt this remembrance, this resonating of the moon. Ask for the moon. Ask anything. And I turned to my agent and said, look at the moon. Emmanuel, God is with us. He can do anything. And I went over to the executive producer and pointed and said, look at the moon, look at the moon. And he just, okay, okay. And I said, no, Emmanuel, God is with us, because I was so excited. And he just said, all right. And he walked away from me. And then he went over to the director, and they called out, quiet on the set, and they filmed another bit, and then cut, break the set. It was almost midnight. Everything was coming down. And the executive producer came walking back over to me, and he said, I got your moon in the movie. I go, what do you mean? He said, well, you seem pretty excited about that God being with us thing. So I had the director get a shot of the moon. And it's in the movie. So watch the movie.
I love it.
There's this house, and they do this pan, and there's this moon over the house. It's not, you know, put in there with special effects. It was God's moon, his blessing. And I felt that through the whole process, not because the book was made into a movie and that was something I asked God for, but what I felt and what I know is still at work is that the Lord put me in that arena so I'd have opportunity to have conversations and be a light and be able to develop these relationships with so many people that don't know him. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be a missionary, and I felt like this is a whole new unreached people group. This is a mission field. I get to be here. They're asking me questions. And the thing that is just so amazing is that because the movie did so well, the folks at Hallmark came back to me and said, let's do a sequel. And can you be involved in consulting?
Oh, my goodness.
I have been on long phone conversations and writing long summaries. And I went to L.A. last week and had a long day of planning. And I'm invited in. I mean, I'm welcomed in to work on more programming that will really touch people's hearts. That's the God thing of it, not, oh, I wanted to have a movie, and I asked God, and he made it happen. That's not, he doesn't bless us for our own benefit. He blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. And that's exactly what he's done. He's given me this wide opportunity to just see what he can do and ask for the moon.
Amen.
Well, Robin, that's, I think that's a pervading theme. In this, what a powerful story! What a marvelous reality, dear one. As we take our break now, what have you been praying? How have you been praying? What constitutes the substance of your prayers? When God says, "Ask, and you shall receive," when God says, "You know, be it done to you according to your faith," my friend. Do you ask? Do I ask? Does Suzanne ask? Do we, like Robin Jones Gunn, do we ask for the moon? I mean, do you ask for big things? Yeah, the impossible things, the things that seem out of reach. You know, somewhere along the way, I think when Robin prayed that, it just honored God to want to and to fulfill it, to make it a reality. And we need to pray up. Big things, my friend, big things. More with Robin when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
She actually thought she was going to be a missionary to travel to foreign lands. But you know, Robin's books, Robin Jones Gunn, her books have sold almost 5 million copies worldwide. To her great delight, they're doing exactly what she's always hoped to do. Yeah, travel around the world and tell people about God's love. She's doing the same and has spoken at events around the United States and Canada, as well as South America, Africa, and Europe. And her books, well, they are traveling everywhere. You know how God can use you in unique ways when you follow Him. This is the Good Life Radio Show. Robin Jones Gunn, our guest today. You can find out more about her and her books and her movie, Finding Father Christmas, at robingunn.com. That's Robin with an I, Gunn with two N's, robingunn.com. Robin, as you look ahead, now you're a consultant for Hallmark. Doors seem to have flung open over the course of the last few years and really being catapulted in this new season of life. What do you look forward to?
I look forward to seeing the fulfillment of what God created me to do and to be. Because I've been writing for almost 30 years. And writing is a very difficult profession. There's not a lot of money in it. People think there is, but there's not. There's even less in filmmaking, just in case you're thinking that's what you want to do instead. But it's really just this kind of being dedicated to the arts, because there's so much power in story. So for 30 years, and doing this, writing and seeing what God can do with the story, I'm feeling like there's just more that can be done and more that He's asking of me. So that's what I look forward to the most, of not just sitting back and going, there, I've written all these books and I haven't got a movie. I can just not use that gift anymore. Rather, it feels like everything before has prepared me to use the gifts God has given me in a more deliberate and intentional and effective way. So that's really the encouragement I would love to give to your listeners today, that we are these ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and to be able to put His love and His light into places all over, in our communities, where we work, in our families, but to always be asking the Lord, what is it you want of me? What can I do today? And I love, as we've been reading the Christmas story in Luke, as we've been preparing our hearts for Christmas, I really spent some time looking at just that moment when the angel Gabriel came to Mary told her that she was going to bear a son. And Mary's response was, "May it be unto me according to your word." And I want that same response in my heart. Whenever the Lord opens the door or invites me to do something new, or there's a chance to serve him in a new way, I want to say, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Let me, the first part of it was Mary said, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word." And to just have that true heart response, "Lord, I'm here to serve you and your kingdom. I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So what's next? What adventures do you have? Well, just I'm your servant, Lord, so may it be unto me according to your word." But I don't want to ever feel like there was something that I could have been doing for the Lord, but that in that place of having to make the decision, I chose for myself instead of his kingdom. So I wanted my life to be more comfortable, or I didn't want to be inconvenienced. So that's what I want. I want more of his kingdom to come.
Suzanne, you were going to mention something? Hi, Suzanne. Hey, Robin, you know, out of obedience to God, you saw the Lord open up these incredible doors. And really, it encourages us to be faithful and follow him as well. What role do you feel timing has had? Do you feel like you've created timing or been sensitive to the way timing unfolds? Or do you feel God has just sort of swept in and moved in your life? I think some of us may wonder about that.
Well, that's a really good point, Danny, because I don't like to wait. You don't like to. None of us like to wait. We want what we want when we want it. And when we don't get what we want when we want it, we're mad. We're sad, or we give up. And the timing for everything that has unfolded with this whole process, none of it was the way I would have done the timing. But then I look back and say, oh, that was just right. Oh, God's perfect timing. Yes, it was better that it was at this time and not when I thought it should have been. So it's sort of this stretch of our faith and a chance to obey God in a more deliberate way when we wait on him. Our society, our culture just doesn't know how to wait on anything anymore. So waiting 5 years, it just seems like forever. Mm-hmm. And yet, this was the right time. And these were the right people to work with. And there's lots of other things that I've been praying about for years, and nothing's happened. Nothing's moved forward from what I can see. But I believe in faith that from the moment my prayer was given, just like it says in Daniel, that God heard it and that he put into motion all the ways that he was going to answer that prayer. But it's his timing, it's his way, not our way. And so that part for me to be responsible for and faithful to is that part of faith and obedience and trusting God and believing. I mean, think of Abraham. He believed God's promises with absolutely no indication that he'd be the father of a great nation. And it took years, almost two decades, before he saw that fulfillment. So for us, the couple of years we have to wait, or the time that it takes to see what God's doing, that's when we can draw closer to him in that more intimate way. I love you, Lord. I trust you, God. What's next? Just show me the next step. I want to serve you. And it's just going to be that journey of faith for all of us.
Suzanne?
Robin, percentage-wise, could you put a number on how accurate you felt the movie was to your story?
Oh, that's good. Percentage-wise, I think that the core of the story was 75%, 80%, exactly the core of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But then that other 25 or 20% was the parts that were clearly from my spiritual point of view that I had infused in the book, but those parts were not included in the movie. It made the movie more of a Christmas story for all cultures rather than a specifically focused on God being the father of Christmas. And the journey that Maria went on ended in her discovering her heavenly father. Those parts weren't included, but all the essence of belonging and feeling welcomed remained. And it's a delightful movie.
That's just so wonderful. I mean, God has so blessed it. And the other thing I'm hearing from your sharing today, Robin, is that we serve a preparatory God. And so, as you said, mm-hmm. all through your life, he's been preparing you for these different purposes. And here you are again, looking forward, knowing that he's preparing you. The prayers have been prayed. They've been heard. It's such encouragement to our listeners. I'm just being blessed listening.
You know, you think about with Christmas coming, how it was 400 years of silence from the last prophecy that was given that the Messiah would come. And for the children of Israel to wait, the people of God to be waiting 400 years. But at just the right time, we're told in Galatians, at the fullness of time, God did what he promised.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that all the time in our lives. And it's that understanding that he is in control and he knows what he's doing, and to not give up and not to shipwreck our faith and just say, well, I prayed yesterday and today I didn't get it, so God must have not heard me. It's just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's our maturity in him that draws us to what's next and what's next. And you see his fingerprints all over it when we turn around the back.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, you are speaking of all things beautiful in it, in its time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and letting the fruit ripen, letting God orchestrate. I think we struggle in our lives from time to time because we try to accelerate the plan of God or short-circuit the plan of God. So someone today who may be in that place feeling like they're twiddling their thumbs, or they feel as though they have been put on the shelf of life because things have not materialized as they thought. Would you pray for that dear friend who's going through that right now? Because you know what it feels like. You know what it's like to wait. And pray that the Lord would grant them a grace, even as you've experienced, to make it through this challenging time.
Yes, absolutely. Father God, thank you first for being our Father, for being the one who directs our steps and who knows us by heart and loves us. I pray for everyone who is listening who has that sense of being stuck or feels like they've just turned around and looked at the past and all they can see is the past and they're just focused on the past. Lord God, would you just gently turn them around today and face them toward the future, toward what you have for them, toward what it is that you're calling them to be walking into. And I pray that they'd get their heart back in motion and take that first step of faith and that deliberate movement forward to seek you. You told us in your word that if we draw near to you, that you will draw near to us. And I pray, Father, for all those who are listening today that have just stopped and gotten stuck, that they would draw near to you, because I know that you will draw near to them. And I pray, Father, that also, again, in your word in the Psalms, you tell us that the Lord will fulfill his purposes for me. I pray that you would fulfill your purposes for each of us, that we would not hinder what it is that your Holy Spirit is at work doing in us, but that we would rather just enter into what doesn't make sense to us and take the step of faith and be faithful with what you put in front of us right now, and that we would just wholeheartedly give ourselves to you and to be, as Mary said, the handmaiden of the Lord, that we, from our hearts, would save you every day. May it be unto me according to your word, and that our lives would be so just rooted in your word, that we go to the Bible, to your word for the truth, that we would not listen to lies, that we would not get off track or hindered, but that we would seek you with our whole heart. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you that you made a way for us to be reconciled with you, and that you have drawn us to yourself in ways that we don't even imagine. Oh, Father, I pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done right here on earth as it is in your heart in heaven. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have you been touched by God's work in Robin Jones Gunn? You can find out more at robingunn.com. That's Robin with an I and Gunn with two N's. You'll find more inspirational stories of hope and faith at thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's always a blessing to be with you, and this is the perfect time to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. To make a donation, and your support is certainly appreciated, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners, and I thank you in advance. Psalm 37, verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Robin Jones Gunn. Find out more at robingunn.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, our technical producers, Chaz Ontai and Leo Rodriguez, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.